でさ。
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. This is a riwayat is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى that one of the first people that will be taken to account on the day of Qiyamah will be a person who was made shaheed. He took part in jihad and he was made shaheed. So when he is brought for accounting, he will be reminded of the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon him. That Allah Ta'ala had given him strength, Allah Ta'ala had given him good health, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with weapons, conveyance, whatever ni'mats. And he will acknowledge all these ni'mats. And then he will be asked, so what did you do with these ni'mats? So he will say that, Ya Allah, I used these ni'mats to take part in jihad until I was made shaheed for your pleasure. But the reply he will get is that you are a liar. You are a liar. You did all of this so that people can say that you are a brave person, strong person. And then instruction would be given and he would be dragged on his face until he is thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Then a person would be brought who studied the deen of Allah Ta'ala. He taught the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Maybe teaching in a madrasa, going around giving bayans, whatever it may be. And he will be reminded of the favors that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon him. Allah Ta'ala gave him intelligence. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with deen-e-ilm, opportunities to serve deen, etc. And he will be asked, now what did you do with all these ni'mats? So he told, say that, Ya Allah, I taught your deen, I read the Quran Sharif, all for your pleasure. And it will be said to him that you also are a liar. That you did all of this so people can call you learned. People can call you a qari. And then instruction will be given with regards to him also. And he will be dragged on his face until he is thrown in the fire of Jahannam. The other person that will be brought will be a person who was a wealthy person. Allah Ta'ala was generous towards him. And then he will be reminded of Allah Ta'ala's favors on him. He too will acknowledge all the favors. And then he will be questioned, what did you do with this? So he will say that, Ya Allah, I spent in all the avenues that you have instructed us to spend in, all for your pleasure. And he will also get the same answer that you are a liar. You spent so that people can call you generous. So that you already got in the dunya now. So instruction will be given with regards to him also. He will be dragged on his face until he is thrown in the fire of Jahannam. So it is mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he was narrating this Hadith Sharif, he fainted 3 times. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he heard this Hadith Sharif, he began crying. And he said that if big people like that, person who was a mujahid, person who was an alim, person who was so generous, if big people like that, they will fail, what's going to happen to small people like us? Now, who he was, what a giant, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, if only we know his contribution to deen and his contribution to Islam, how much khidmat Allah Ta'ala took from him. But he is saying that if big people like that will fail, what's going to happen to people like us? So, Allah Ta'ala give us ikhlas. And we request you also that just as you request programs, a lot of times you get a request for programs. So it's very easy to go and have programs. But to keep the ikhlas is a difficult thing. So just as you request program, so we request you that make dua for us. That Allah Ta'ala don't make us from that second category. That we are bereft of ikhlas, we're doing things for show, and we too are thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So, in the Quran Sharif, and also in the Ahadith Mubarakah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention a lot with regards to the ummats of the past. In the Quran Sharif, so many places Allah ta'ala mentions about the ummats of the past. And you find a very similar trend in all the previous ummats. You find this, that the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he would come to that people and he will start to propagate, he will start to teach them. He has got their well-being at heart. But the thing that he is faced with by the majority is opposition. And generally the opposition is by the influential people. Few weak people, poor people, people that are not ready, they don't have much standing in society, they are the first ones that accept. They start sitting with that Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, they bring Iman. And then slowly, slowly it gains momentum. People start seeing the truth, it gains momentum. More people start accepting. Or the people don't accept. They continue troubling that Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Persecution. The people who have accepted Iman, they trouble them, they mock them, physically assault them. Until it reaches a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an azab. In some instances, the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala himself, he makes a baddua on the people. Allah Ta'ala sends an azab and Allah Ta'ala wipes out that entire nation except the people who had brought Iman. Those that had brought Iman and the Nabi of the time, they are saved by the Qudrat of Allah. Different types of punishments came. Punishments came with floods. Punishment came just with a scream. When we talk about this punishment with a scream, so it always reminds me in Turkey when this earthquake had taken place. I don't know exactly how long back, but at that time the US Army, they had set up a Navy base in Turkey and they made a claim that now not even God can touch us. What a Navy base, latest technology, everything. And it is mentioned that there was one soldier from the Turkish army. Now, you had to be present there, whether you liked it or not. This was the opening of this Navy base. All the, whichever people needed to be there, they had to be there. Even if they never want to be there, they had to be there. So he was there and he was sitting one side and he was reading Quran Sharif. But he didn't want to be part of all this bakwas that they are talking and all this party that's happening. So one of his superiors went past him and they asked him, they saw him reading Quran Sharif. They reprimanded him. What you doing? And the person actually hit the Quran Sharif out of his hand. On that very same night, when it was the opening of their navy base, that was like their pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an earthquake. The people that were living, at people who witnessed this, they gave first-hand eyewitness accounts with what happened. And a Jamaat from South Africa, soon after that earthquake, a Jamaat from South Africa had gone. And they met with people there. In fact, when they had reached Turkey, there was a group of American divers that were returning to America. These people were sent by the American government to go and dive and try to pinpoint where all that equipment from the naval base, they want to see how to recover it. So these divers, they met this Jamaat brothers. Now there were very few people traveling at that time, the airport. So they met this Jamaat from South Africa. And these divers told them, we'll never come back. And they actually told these brothers in the Jamaat that we went down there, we'll never go back there. Because what we seen there is that the people, in whatever guna they were committing, whatever guna they were engaged in, they are in that same guna in the depths of the ocean. The person who was gambling, he still got the chips or the cards in his hand. The person who was drinking, he still got the bottle to his lips. The person who was in zina is in zina. Whatever guna they were involved in, they are in that guna. But their faces have been changed to that of monkeys and swine. So this happened not in a previous ummah, this happened now in our time. Right? So this Jamaat went, and when they returned, they were giving a kalguzari. So they explained that the people who witnessed this thing, they said that first they started experiencing like some tremors. And then it got worse. The TV that was there fell down. The vase that was there fell down. Dishes started falling down. So then they realized that this is not normal tremors now, this is something more serious. And then there was a scream that was heard. The scream was so terrifying that they ran out of their homes. Women, however they were dressed, they ran out. Nobody was worried about looking at the next person. Ma'isha radiallahu anha, when she learned from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that on the day of Qiyamah, people will be unclothed. People will be like how when they were born, unclothed, uncircumcised. So Ma'isha, that they were living in a time of haya. In our zamana, there's behayai. Behayai. People bath in the public. Rich people got ensuite in every room. But they go to bath in public. With no clothes on. Like beggars, icharas, eat on the pavement. I can't get over this thing. That a person takes his mother, he takes his daughter, he takes his wife, and he goes sit on the pavement and eat, like a homeless person. And he pays so much money for the experience. So, coming back to this, what we were mentioning, that Ma'isha radiallahu anha, when she heard this, now she couldn't understand that people are all going to be unclothed. So she asked Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that men, women, everybody is going to be there. People are going to be unclothed. And Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that, O Aisha radiallahu anha, the matter is much more serious than that. In other words, the situation on the day of Qiyamah will be so serious, nobody is going to be worried about looking at anybody. There'll be such high nafsi, such fear will grip everybody. Nobody will be worried about what's the next person's situation. So these people in Turkey, they say however the person was dressed, they just ran out of their homes like that. They didn't even worry about putting, you know, decent clothing on. It was night time when this happened, so people were wearing their night clothing. So they just ran out. Some people half dressed, some people not dressed. They ran out like this in the streets. And they say that the sky had turned crimson red. And the sound was so terrifying that a person who was involved with sound, I don't know what they call them, the people who work with sound and all that, but he said, I can't remember now this, I heard this bayan long ago, you know, it just came to my mind now. I don't know how long that sound lasted, but he made a statement at that time, that if the sound had to last, I don't know whether he said for 2 minutes or 1.5 minutute or whatever, there would have been no need for the earthquake. Everyone would have been dead. With the sound, people's eardrums would have burst. Everybody would have died just with that sound. This is the power of Allah Ta'ala. So when we read in the Quran Sharif, Sayhatu Wahida, just one scream. It doesn't hit us that what is the scream when Allah Ta'ala would instruct for that scream to take place. So some communities were destroyed with a scream. Some were destroyed with wind. Some were destroyed with stones being pelted from the sky. Some were picked up to the sky and turned upside down. Different communities were wiped out in different ways. And then only the believing people and the Nabi of the time, they survived. And when the azab of Allah Ta'ala comes, then there's no family lineage also. It's only those who have brought iman that will be saved. The person can be the wife of the Nabi. The person can be the son of the Nabi. If the person didn't bring iman, that person is destroyed also in the azab. So after the azab takes place, then the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is left with the believers. Now everything is fresh in the mind. So now everybody listens to the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. They all become devoted believers. Right? And then the community starts growing again. People start having children. Years are passing. And slowly, slowly, it becomes a distant memory. What happened becomes a distant memory. Like our riots we had. Riots. So the only memory we got of it is the extra firearms we bought after the riots was finished. And the extra ammunition we stocked up now. If anything happens now, we're ready. But did we take a lesson? Did I become now paban with my salah? Did I get rid of riba from my business? Those were the lessons to take. That business for which I'm running behind it, day and night I'm running behind. Sometime Takbir-e-Ula is going, sometime 1-2 rakats are going, sometime the whole salah is going. Everything is going. So how that business can just go away in overnight, it can just go away. So now I must turn to Allah Ta'ala. Don't make my ilah my business or my profession. My ilah is my Rabb, my Allah, my Khaliq. So khair, nations were wiped out. Now there's only believers. So slowly the community starts growing. These people never experienced the azab. They only heard about it. The Nabi of Allah Ta'ala passes away. And with the passage of time, we go back to our wayward ways. Allah Ta'ala then out of His mercy sends another Nabi, sometime more than one Nabi. That Nabi comes again and the whole process starts. When that Nabi starts preaching, now he is met with resistance, opposition, oppression. And then the same thing happens. Then an azab comes again. Those people are all wiped out. Now the Nabi is left with few believers. Again people are devoted to Allah Ta'ala. Again the same thing happens. Until the time of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the seal of the Anbiya alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mission is such that his will last till Qiyamah. There is no Nabi to come after. The barakat of being in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that Allah Ta'ala will not wipe this ummah out. No azab will come on this ummah where the whole ummah will be wiped out. But there is no guarantees that the ummah will remain like how it was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The guarantee is there that just as Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were not wiped out, me and you also we won't be wiped out. But the guarantee that Sahaba had that they are radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that guarantee we don't have. We don't have that guarantee. So we have to keep checking ourselves. We have to keep reading the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to keep reading the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and checking. Not reading it as a storybook. This is a musibat today. Our children go to school. From day one they are lied to. They go to school. From day one. They tell them about Red Riding Hood lies. They tell them about Snow White Black lies. And the children get used to this. They get used to being lied to. They get used to understanding that whatever I am taught is lies. Right? You mustn't take it serious. It's a story. And then the child grows up. And then he starts watching movies. So now he's seeing it in action. And sometimes he gets emotional. The hero died. Or the heroine became a heroin addict. So now he's crying, or she's crying. What are you crying for? It's only a movie. What are you crying for? It's only a movie. It's not real. It's just a movie. What are you getting all emotional about? So we grow up with that. The children are faced with that. They play games. Right, you died. Start again. So you messed it up. Racing game, you smash the car. No problem. Just start again. So they get used to that mindset. So now that same child goes to Maktab. And now the child is being told about how Firaun was drowned. And how the flood of Nuh alayhi salam. So he sees it in the same light. He doesn't take it serious. He sits there, he hears about this. He comes straight out of madrasa and he is back into sin. It doesn't make no effect at all. The mother is busy teaching the child all these stories because it's history exam tomorrow. The child must get 100 out of 100 because we have to boast to nani and dada. I have to take the report and go and show what marks my child got. And then after that exam, that same parent is putting movie on for the children. putting cartoons on for the children. So the child doesn't take the deen seriously. The deen is not taken seriously. It's taken like a storybook, same like Red Riding Hood. It's just there to pass an exam, get a pat on my back and carry on. My success, we keep hearing the Jamaat brothers, my success, your success, and the success of the entire ummah lies in following this deen in the manner shown to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times we have heard that i'lan? But do we really believe that? We really believe it. So now, when we don't have this guarantee of radiyallahu anhum wa radwan, and we have the warning from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every ill, every weakness that was in the Bani Israel will be in this ummah. Now how careful we have to be. Every sickness, every ill, every guna, every weakness that was in the Bani Israel will be found in this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now how careful we have to tread. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked one sahabi, I can't remember which sahabi, maybe one of the ulama will know, to explain taqwa. So asked him to explain taqwa. So the sahabi told him that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you walked on a narrow path, rocky and thorny, with some thorn plants and all that around? So when you walked, so Amir al-Mu'mineen said, yes. So when you walked, how did you walk? Watching my step, watching my garment. My garment mustn't get pulled. I mustn't miss the step, twist my ankle, fall. So that is taqwa. That in this dunya, there will be so many things that can trap us, cause us to slip, cause us to fall, focus. So many things can harm us. All the time we have to be with taqwa. Jis jahan mein rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. No matter where I am, where my taqwa must be salamat. Whether I'm in the masjid in front of the whole community, whether I'm alone in my business, whether I'm at home, whether I'm overseas, or under the seas, wherever I am, my taqwa must be salamat. All the time, Allah consciousness. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. And Allah Ta'ala is watching how I'm walking, how I'm talking, how I'm dealing. Everything Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I mustn't step out of line. Everything I must do in accordance with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, alhamdulillah, our South African community, we are very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes so many of our people to Haramain Sharifain. Ulama go, businessmen go, everybody. So many, young and old, you will find people going to Haramain Sharifain. We just find out now in this October holiday how many people went. Then some people say, no, I won't go in the holidays, busy that time, I'll go after. How many are planning to go in December? How many are planning to go in Ramadan Sharif? Right? Now, if you sit with the elderly people, sit with the older people, and ask them about Haramain Sharifain, ask them to describe to you what was the environment, what were the laws 50 years ago. We don't have to go too far back. Right? 50 years ago, 40 years ago, what was the rules? What was the laws? What was the situation there? Right? So, I can't tell you about 50 years ago. Right? But I can tell you about 40 years ago. Right? When you went to Haramain Sharifain, you would not find a woman without a niqab. There is no woman without a niqab. So much so that our South African women were not, many of them were not in niqab in those days. Right? Through the barakat of our work of tabligh, through the barakat of the ulama, the mashayikh, slowly people started wearing kurtas. It was not an uncommon sight to see people with safari suits in the masjid. Right? People wearing safari suits, they come. People wearing dungarees, they come masjid. People wearing the kreisban, they come masjid. Right? It wasn't an uncommon sight. It was normal. People didn't know what's kurta and ijar and all that. Right? Slowly, the kurta started coming, the parda started coming, etc. Right? Now, when you went to Haramain Sharifain, when our people, any family now, they're going for Hajj or they're going for Umrah. So the big thing, if you think the man's ihram was a story. No. The man's ihram was easy. The lady now, she needed to sew clothes to go Haramain Sharifain. Because she never owned clothes that she could wear over there. Whereas the clothing that our women were wearing at that time was very decent. The woman 40 years ago, they didn't wear jeans, they didn't wear t-shirts, they didn't wear immodest clothing, although they may have not known too much. But they were wearing loose-fitting garments, long dresses, their scarves were always on their head, etc. Right? But when they needed to go Haramain Sharifain, they say, hey, you know what, now you have to sew cloaks now. Burqas. And you have to wear parda because everybody wears parda over there. So now they used to get ready because we're going Haramain Sharifain. I'm telling you, brothers, the younger people may not believe it. Everywhere around the Haram, there were big signs with a picture of a camera. Because there were no cell phones at that time. Right? There were pictures of a camera with a red cross over it. Now, we couldn't understand the Arabic that was written under it. But we could see the camera with the big cross. Under it was written in Arabic that this tasawir is mamnu'. And they had the fatwa of one of their, whether it was Netemia or who it was, they had the fatwa of that person under there. And if they saw you with the camera, it was taken and broken, finished. No questions asked. Same time they'll take it and break it, take it and finish. Khalas. No questions asked. That was the condition there at that time. If a lady was entering the Haram Sharif and she never have socks in her feet, those women who used to check this is not like now. Men, they got sign there. This is entrance for men and entrance for women, but the sign is maybe for the malaika. Because everybody just goes everywhere. Those days, the ladies had to enter from a certain door. The men had to enter from a certain door. If the lady walked in that door, she don't have socks. Those lady guards, they used to, full black, big burqas, their faces were covered. You couldn't see anything of them, gloves, everything they wear. They were not wearing army slacks and walking around the Haram. They used to hit those women on their feet. And chase them out. You go and put socks on and come. Where are you going to walk like this in the Haram? You're going to make tawaf. Other people are going to see you. Look at your feet. Go and put socks on and come. There was no question of a woman working in a shop. There was no question of a lady driving. There was no question of a woman working in the hotel. Now, why am I mentioning this? I'm not mentioning this to find fault with them. Because we got, don't know, 100 times more faults than them. But I'm mentioning this for us to realize how things change. You see, when you have a little baby, now this fellow, Maulana Rashid, sees him every day. So he don't see no change. But if somebody comes after 1 year, no change. The Maulana Rashid will just have to say, ha, no change. In Maulana Rashid never see him getting big. Because he, every day is small change, you don't see it. But somebody who comes and see drastic change. Now you see, a change took place here. So people that go to Harameen Sharifin, they went last 30 years ago, 40 years ago. When they go now, they are like, what happened here? What happened? Since when ladies work in the shops? Since when so many ladies don't have niqab? Since when you got all these designer outlets and so many takeaways and people are sitting outside the coffee shops and smoking and is this Harameen Sharifin? Right? So why did that happen? Because the voice of Haq was silenced. Any alim who spoke out against what the hukumat was doing, and the hukumat was being instructed by Britain, by USA, that introduce this, introduce that. So many things coming to the mind. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Mufti Ibrahim Salihji Sahib, he explained to us once that how the TV came into Harameen Sharifin. There was no TV in Saudi. They didn't have TV. Right? So Britain told the Sauds that you need to introduce the TV. Because the TV is not a tool of entertainment. The TV is a tool to kidnap you and kidnap your children. To now influence whatever they want, this will be sent out to the world on one platform. What fashion they want will be sent out to the world. What hairstyles they want will be sent out to the world. And whatever they want goes in opposition to the sunnah, in line with shaitan's way. So, when the talk was there that now they're going to, you know, bring in this TV. So the imams of the different masajid, the imams of the haram, etc., they all start speaking out against this. So it created a big uproar in the community. So these people contacted their bosses. They said, but we can't bring the TV here. There'll be a riot here in our country. They said, all right, no problem. Don't bring the TV. But then they put a plan into place. They said, I see all your imams now. You're not paying them well. A lot of times on the internet and on these WhatsApps and all that, you get all these messages. Imams charter, imams this, must stand up for the imams and you must, you know, uphold the imams. It sounds all very nice. Bichara imam sahab, you know. But if you really thought the bichara imam sahab, you should have done something for him long time ago. Why you waited for this charter and that charter and that charter? And the imam don't need nobody's charter. The imam got Allah Pak. So now, they told them, they said, no, your imams, you're not paying them well. Must pay them well. So up the salaries. The imam, he can't stay in that kind of, the imam of the main, your main haram. Oh, you must give him in a wonderful suburb, nice house. The Imam's children, they must get the best education. Send them Oxford, send them here, send them there. We'll pay. From the government side, the kingdom side, we'll pay. So now, they got used to that lifestyle. You know, they say it's easy to move from a small house into a big house. From a big house to go in a small house, a guru. So they got used to this lifestyle now. They're living it up, everything, you know. And then the bosses told them, now introduce the TV. So, but to cause a problem, he said, no, you introduce the TV. And you tell all your imams, khabardar, you talk about this thing, all your perks are gone. Now, son is in third year varsity in Oxford. Now how am I not going to get the salary now? This one is, now my wife is having another child, now how am I going to go in the private hospital? So now, they couldn't talk. Those few that had himmat and spoke, they were just a few. You see? They were the few. So they said, are they radicals? They're radicals. They don't know what they're talking about. They're living in the yesteryear. And if they still spoke, take them, put them in jail. Take them, imprison them. So silence them. So when this was continuous silence of the haq, phir kya hua? In the lands of Hijaz, you got Satan worship. In the name of Halloween. See, things are just given different names, you see. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said towards Qiyamah, people will drink alcohol openly. They'll just give it another name. See, like photography. Photography is photography. Let's give it another name, digital. Let's call it digital. Now it became permissible. Now, gambling is gambling, is haram. Let's call it insurance. Same concept as gambling, let's call it insurance. So, fine. This morning I was reading something. When it comes to riba, interest, right? Interest, Allah Ta'ala declares war. Right? Zina is a very bad crime. Chori, theft, very bad crime. Murder, very bad crime. But for none of these crimes, Allah Ta'ala declares war. But for riba, Allah Ta'ala declares war. Now, you see, bring it home. Bring it home. Allah Ta'ala protect. But I'm just using example. Example for us to open our mind. Right? But Allah protect everyone. Allah protect us. Allah protect our awlad. Allah protect the community. Nobody must go through this. But I'm just mentioning it for example. A person's daughter comes home. You know what? I'm pregnant. I committed zina. Pregnant. What will be the uproar in that home? The father, the mother, the father, how angry he'll get. Now he didn't know where to put his face now. And he's so upset with this daughter of his, so angry. Naam puchar. What she will be told. Right? But the same house in which he's shouting her is on bond. Or he bought an interest. The rug that he's standing on and reprimanding her, that too is on interest. The vehicle with which he came home, that too is on interest. So that guna of interest, Allah Ta'ala declared war. He's so angry, shouting her because his izzat is at stake. Is there any worry about deen anymore? Whenever we stand up for deen also, we're standing up more because of our izzat. I remember some years ago there was one program in Peter Marisburg. One brother who deals with addicts. So they called him to have a program. Allah Ta'ala make it asan. So many people are caught up in this bimari. Allah take them out. So he gave a talk about all the different drugs and you know what it does and all these things. So after he finished the talk, so somebody must be saw me there, I'm feeling left out or something. So they said, no, Maulana, come say a few words. So I said, all right. I went there. So now I'm thinking, what to talk now, this drug program now, what to talk. So Allah Pak put something in my mind that time. Hopefully it was correct. So I said, see, why are we having a special program for this drug problem? We hired one hall, brought one man from so far. And so many fathers have come with their addict sons. And so many fathers have come with their sons who are borderline addicts. That they can just go with that side too, you know. They already started experimenting. Bumper crowd here. Why? Why is it that if we have to have one program about boyfriend, girlfriend being haram, then we won't get such a big crowd. If we have to have one program about TV being haram, then we won't get so big program. Is Maulana's what else come they got? Now they bought, now they want to have program. So we have one program about having all the souks, and if we have one program about the fitnas of peril, no interest in all that. So this drug one, why there's so much interest? So I say, you see why there's so much interest? You worry this fellow is going to dissolve your empire. Your dunya is at stake here. Who are you going to leave the dukan to now? You're going to take all your Kruger coins also and smoke it. So that's your picker. Not that it's haram. There were some youngsters that time. The older people will know that time when they burned that Stahi fellow in Cape Town and all that. You know, the Pagad thing was very hot that time. So that Stahi, they burnt him, was a wrong thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, only Allah Pak must punish with fire, you know. But Allah knows they were now upset that time, we're not making judgment on anybody. But they burnt that fellow, then everywhere now this Pagad was starting. So Marisburg also, it's a sleepy hollow, but sometimes people, they wake up, no? So they wanted to make one Pagad. So all my friends, so they came to me, they said, no, Maulana, you are our Amir. So I said, no problem, but we'll have one meeting first. Then I'll be your Amir. So we had one meeting 1 week later or something. So I said, right, now first you'll tell me why you all want to fight this. Because they knew now, where's this drug merchant, that now. Saturday night we're having a stakeout there. What's a stakeout? You take the steak, you put a braai stand, and you have a steak braai. Nobody must come and buy over here now. They see we're all standing there, they can't come and buy. The fellow will be out of business. And if that fellow makes noise, we'll fight him. We'll give our life, we'll become shaheed. Just buy, like, you know. So, alright. Mashallah, very good. So, I said, khair, no problem. We can do this thing. Just you all give me an undertaking now. Any one of you have got TV at home, you're going to go and break it now. Any one of you got music, that time was still cassettes and all, I say you're going to go and destroy it now. Anybody got the ijar over the ankle, you're going to hem it now. Anybody who don't have beard, you're going to grow it now. Anybody is in riba dealings, you're going to come out of it as soon as possible. And you say, Ma, what this got to do with fighting these drugs? I said, no. If you're doing it because it's haram, you know, to get rid of the haram, then you must get rid of all the haram. Why you got so much jazba in one department? And everything else flat battery? Why? So we must take lesson from what's happening in Haramain Sharifain. When we go there, we see the decline. That decline is a mirror for us. The same thing is happening at home. Just that at home, it's like the baby growing. We don't realize it because it's happening every day. Right? So when we have ulama in our midst who are still prepared to speak haq. You know, yesterday I was listening to one bayan of Hazrat Mu'ayyiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. It was a Jummah Bayan, 15th of the 10th month, 1993, was the date. Because it was yesterday, I can remember. Otherwise, I won't remember. So Hazrat is mentioning, he was talking about a certain point. And he said, I'm going to say it. Some of you may like it, some of you may not like it. But I'm going to say it whether you like it or not. Because my duty is to say what is haq. I must say what is the truth. Yes, Hazrat spoke with love, spoke with wisdom, very shy away from the truth. So when we have ulama in our midst that are keep reminding us of what is the truth, what is the line, where we're supposed to be, and where we going, you must make shukr for that. Because those bichara people in Hijaz, they don't have it. So now they've gone on to Halloween parties. Satanism in the name of Halloween. Right? Wallahi, women who maybe their lineages are going up to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they are in the working place. Their niqabs are off now. Forget the niqabs are off, the scarves are gone till here. Allah Pak don't show us the day that the scarves come out. From a place where there was no person without a full niqab, to now the local woman wearing a scarf till here. See how far it went in a matter of 40 years, 50 years. Take stock, where are we going? There's so many things, wallahi brothers, when this work of Jamaat started, when the Mashayikh started coming, our Madari started coming, so many things we changed in our lives. Wallahi, they were, I know my own parents, took out the wedding albums. It was a very prized possession in those days. And burnt all those photos, took out the album, burnt. And that time wasn't this cheapy photos on the phone, like click, 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 click. That time it costed money to get those photos. But when the ulama came and told them that this photography is haram, you'll get azab in the qabr and all that, they burnt it. Today we're going straight back into the same crime. Just because we put one name in front, digital. That crime was gone. How many people took their TVs out of their homes? How many people? They went in Jamaat, they came and TV went out. Set for itikaf, after that TV is out. How many people took their TVs out of their homes? Today, TV is in the pocket. Forget in the house. So many people, neck people, the TV came back in the house. Well, I've seen an Islamic TV. I'm watching the haram. We got rid of it, we bring it back. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. this program taking place in Impangeni also. Because our seniors, they can see things from a different height. Because they did the groundwork. They know what the community was, what the community became, and now they're seeing what the community is becoming. So it's paining their hearts. So sometimes they talk in a stern manner. They talk very stern. You know what we say? They're radical. They're splitting the ummah. What they're doing? Wallahi, if those voices are not there, when those, Allah give them long life, Allah keep their saya over us for a long time to come. But when those arwah will be taken away, and if they are not replaced by others who will speak that same language, then I am telling you, brothers, it won't be long that we too will be celebrating Halloweens. Because with some, it's as Hazrat used to say, sab kuch andar maskan andar. Everything goes. By where in our country we had a dini program, men and women mixed? Could we ever think about it? Even at the time when we were ignorant, we are still ignorant, but I'm talking about that time, before the Jamaat work really started and everything gained momentum, the Darul Ulooms and all that. Even then, could you even ever think that now men and women will be mixed up in one program? And today has become like the order of the day. So if these fathers of the Ummah, the fathers of the founders of all these works that we have, if they're not going to talk and keep telling us where to draw the line, wallahi, we won't know where we'll be gone. I know Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali towards the latter portion of his life, how many things he was crying about when he was seeing the decline. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah give you tawfiq. You are very close to Impangeni. Program is taking place there. Stanger is bigger than Impangeni, but Impangeni people, they're saying our hearts are big, never mind, you must come. Although you've got bigger town, but come for the program. So take advantage of these mokas. You know, you don't know when these nightingales will stop singing. You know? When they'll stop singing, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So while they are still singing the love song of Allah Ta'ala, take advantage. Root law. Take advantage. Allah Pa give us all to faith. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai.